Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you so much for making this opportunity. And we ask you to bless us today in our understanding and in expectations of the things to come. Thank you so much, Father. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk about fiery trials bring great revival. Amen. And I'm going to start with a revelation given to a brother here. Revival in the midst of economic pain. It's from Outpouring Gates, 5/20/22. And it's interesting. And this is a partial. We didn't do the whole thing. We didn't do because we just don't have enough room for today, but in the beginning of this vision, I see myself walking on this long, narrow, concrete street. This represents, I believe, the narrow way and the solid foundation of Jesus that his disciples follow and are grounded upon. To my left and my right were buildings stacked side by side. They were completely side by side down this long, narrow street. They were all made out of the same color of cement as the street and the sidewalk. And I would say, as we are going to see, the Lord showed him these buildings represent American small businesses. But I also believe that they represent the apostate churches who have joined house to house and are operated as if they were businesses, rather than led by the Spirit of God. Isaiah 5 and 8 through 13 says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no room, and you be made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. In mine ears, says the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant." Now we're going to see that about these buildings too. "For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and an omer of seed shall yield but an ephah." In other words, famine. Verse 11. "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that tarry late into the night, till wine inflame them." Well, spiritual drunkards are everywhere now. And they do not perceive reality or truth. They're staggering around out there in their ignorance because they forgot the Bible is the foundation. "And the harp and the lute and the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord. Neither have they considered the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity for lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude are parched with thirst." So the apostate churches are not feeding the people with the water of the word. And we go back. There were no alleyways and no way to get around these buildings. Well, physically speaking, there is no way to get around the judgment that has been pronounced by God on America and its people and the economy. Spiritually speaking, since judgment begins at the house of God, the apostate churches will also not be able to avoid the coming tidal wave of judgment, which will also bring a great revival. And as we will see in this revelation, he went on to say, "I was thinking in the vision, why are these buildings stacked side by side like this? And as I was watching and looking, the Lord was showing me symbolically that these buildings were not corporate businesses, but small American businesses or home businesses. So I kept on looking, and instantly I get this amazing download. I mean, a download that I felt throughout my body, that these businesses are empty and no one's in them. and I am so overtaken by this understanding and sensation. Well, we know the Lord is going to empty the stores and businesses and also apostate churches. And we'll see why in, well, we have shared why in other revelations. Revelation 18:11, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Religious leaders make merchandise of the people, according to the scriptures, by putting them under laws that support them and their expensive buildings. And they buy and they sell books and merchandise instead of obeying the Lord, who commanded, "Freely you have received, freely give." This, of course, puts them in a position to have to walk by faith, which I can tell you, if a person is sent and not just went, they can walk by faith and he will supply. And also 2 Peter 2 and 3 says, "And in covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose sentence now from of old lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not." He said, "I felt a double emptiness in these American businesses. The first one was there, that one was there, was no one working in these businesses. The second one was there was absolutely nothing in them to purchase." Well, I believe that this double emptiness represents this dual interpretation of judgment on the physical businesses and economy and the judgment on the apostate churches as well. So I continued to keep looking, and I was observing myself in this vision doing things. Each building was stacked side by side, but they weren't the same size. They were decorated and designed differently. I believe that this probably represents all different kinds of businesses and commerce that will be destroyed in the current coming crash, and also that these decorated and differently designed buildings with their flashiness represent the different denominations of apostate Christianity that attract people with commercialism, and the different apparel that they have dressed themselves with instead of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 4 and 1 says, "And seven women," I believe this is the seven churches, "shall take hold of one man," Jesus, "in that day, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. Take thou away our reproach." Well, of course, that's what's going on. Continuing, "As I'm watching myself, I began to walk up about 5 or 10 steps to a business building on the right. It had a really nice, big, heavy red door and was the only building that seemed to have steps going up to it." Well, 5 is the number of grace, and 10 is the number of law, and the 5 to 10 steps represents our new covenant that Jesus brought us, which is a law of grace. And the red door is Jesus and his blood that is the only way to enter the kingdom. But notice, "I grabbed this gold long bar handle on the red door, and I was yanking it like, 'Come on, open.' I continued to pull on it using a lot of strength now, and it just wouldn't open." Well, I believe this represents that the apostate Pharisees of our day have locked the red door, which is Jesus and his blood and that he shed for our salvation in all things, and have not allowed the people access to their true Savior and the completeness of his salvation. Matthew 23 and 13 says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven against men, for you enter not in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to enter." Mm-hmm. And that's what they did in Jesus' day, and that's what they're doing in our day. So after seeing myself pulling on this door and it not opening, I saw myself stop, look ahead, and stand there. And I'm like, okay. Then I hear the voice of the Lord speak to me and say, an economic plan. And I said, an economic plan? I was expecting him to say an economic collapse, but he said an economic plan. Well, this economic crash has been carefully planned by the deep state and their front organization, the World Economic Forum, and God is sovereign over the plans of the deep state, and ultimately it is his plan. In Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. I said, okay, and I understood what that meant, that this was a planned out economic situation that Americans were in. And it was all planned out. And then he said, a stripping of the American people, quote unquote. But the key word he had me focus on, and he is bringing right back to my remembrance, is the American people. God is identifying the American people, and not so much the politicians in the corporate world. He's focusing on the damage being done to them in this vision, and he's saying the economic plan against the American people is to strip them. Well, let me say, it will also strip the merchants of Babylon, right? The religious merchants of Babylon. It wasn't just to strip them of business, he said, but it was to strip them of the supply from the businesses. So the apostates need to be stripped of all their Babylonish idols and distractions and the things that they depend upon besides God. Because we know that much of the church is not full gospel, and much of the full gospel church is not full gospel, and people do not put their faith in God. They put their faith in all of the works and ideas of men. So he went on to say, in this vision I understood that the businesses were empty and no one was working there. So if someone were going to loot or try to steal from these businesses, there would be no point because they were totally empty. Well, I believe this is representing severe supply shortage and unemployment and inability of the apostate churches to really get any kind of message out. Even the street I was on had no cars. It was empty. And so I just kept looking, and some time passed, and then after the from the left to the right, I saw this gold luminescent wave. It literally looked like a tidal wave of water, but it was completely gold luminescent. And this was the glory of God coming down from the sky. As it came down, God was speaking, I'm interjecting my glory into their economic plan. Okay, yeah. Well, see, the plan is being permitted by God because he wants to do something in the church and those who would be in the church. Right. So this is where the man-child reformers will begin the revival with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it was angling down and coming straight at a business building, and I understood that God, as he was sending his glory down, he was going to interject his plan into the economic plan that they have against the American people. Well, this is for the benefit of God's elect. All those who are caught up in apostasy will be turned back to him through painful times of lack. At the same time, this tidal wave will be a judgment upon the wicked. There will be a transfer of wealth that we'll speak about probably in the next revelation here. Okay. He said, I saw the glory of God interject into their economic plan, into a business building that was empty of employees and empty of supply. He let me know that he's going to allow things to be stripped because his people need a savior. And the best way to see a Savior is when you need the full salvation from Him. Amen. So, you know, this time of lack is going to cause people to turn to prayer instead of their own efforts and their own ways, you know. So these desperate times will turn many back to a true relationship with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, he went on to say that that means depletion of what is, keeping them from being desperate for the Lord, that desperation, that all-or-nothing lifestyle, that all-or-nothing want that his word clearly says we all have to have, excuse me, Matthew 10:37-39. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that doth not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And all of this is about causing people to lose their old life and come into this new life because of this revival. He went on to say, God is going to do a stripping. God is going to allow things to happen a certain way, but it's for all of us to finally start to look up. It's for all of us as a body to get our eyes up again on the Savior instead of each other, instead of in the world, instead of the fruits of the world, the things that you can do in this world, getting back to the core original gospel of things. Amen. Ecclesiastes 8:11, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Well, speedily, I believe God is going to make a correction here. So he went on to say, so I know many people are praying to God for revival, and he will bring revival. But understand, when you ask for revival, you're asking God to cause the focal point to be turned back to him. That means there has to be a shift from the focal point being towards the worldly to being placed back onto him. And if people aren't willing to turn back out of sheer free will, and God has had enough patience already, he will then drive the land so that the people will finally start to turn on their own back to him. This revival is not without an invitation to the Holy Spirit, just like in the book of Acts. There was an invitation, and then there was a restoration, and then the outpouring came. But the restoration wasn't a possession. It was a restoration of heart want or desire. There was a heart want restoration towards God, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. They were in one accord in that upper room and totally focused on Christ. And then, just like a rushing wind, the Holy Spirit came in and rested upon them. It was an invitation on their part. They were already looking for him and desiring him. Yeah, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit isn't an involuntary possession. He will not come in an uninvited or undesired format, right? He went on to say, we want a revival, but billions aren't looking. Millions aren't looking. God has to ripen things that are weak, and this weakness is the attention, focus, and the will of the people. God in all of his mercy has waited long enough for people to repent on their own, and millions still haven't, despite all they are going through or doing. Well, people don't really repent on their own. God grants repentance, the Bible says. Okay. It's so black and white. The line is drawn very clearly nowadays. You have people of all ages, ranges, and they either love God or want him and want him. They are completely on fire for him or want nothing to do with him. But this is just as the word said. He is drawing a line in the sand. Choose your side. Period. Yeah, Matthew 24 and 40 says, Then shall two men be in the field, one is taken and one is left. There are two men in the earth, Christ and Antichrist. Right? So these two must be separated, and that's what this coming tribulation is all about. So understand, when we ask for revival, God's going to do it perfectly, not 80%. And when we ask for something, he's going to do it in his perfect way, because he loves us enough to do it in his perfect way. So we've got to be ready for what we might see. Based on what I was seeing in this vision, we have to get ready for some hard things. We have to understand that it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. This isn't something to feel discouraged or depressed about, thinking, oh man, I'm going to have to go through this. Yeah, some people do feel that way right now, and that's their doctrine too. So, no, we have to only look at our examples in the Bible of who else has been through situations like this. Elijah, Noah, Nehemiah. You have to only look to them and say, what did God do in their lives? Oh, wow, they were fully sustained and had more than enough. Amen. But that's for the people who were like them, right? Philippians 4:19, My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Most Christians never get to find out that this is true. They've never been put in a position to need it. But they aren't going to be now. So now I want to turn to another revelation here. That one was about what you're going to see in the world, in the worldly church. And this one is about what you're going to see in the first fruits. There is going to be a difference. This whole thing is going to work out according to God's plan, not man's plan. So we call this God's plan for the first fruits. And this was a dream that was given to Julie Wedby. 5:25-22. This dream started with me receiving a letter in the mailbox. I opened it to find a check that I only hurriedly glanced at, as my family and I were on our way to a meeting of great importance and we couldn't be late. The meeting included Yahushua's remnant from all over the world, some of whom I recognized, but most I did not. Well, let me just make a note about this, since they're going to continue using this. God put a numeric pattern in every letter of both Old Testament Hebrew and New Testament Greek. This is so that men couldn't add to or take away from it. The New Testament was written in Greek. We know that because it has this numeric pattern. There is no numeric pattern like this in the Hebrew New Testament, because it was translated from the Greek. Okay. In Jeremiah 3:19, Father said, You shall call me my Father. It's a very personal name. It's greater than these impersonal names that he was known by in the Old Testament. It's a greater relationship. It's a grace relationship. And so Jesus did this, and he taught his disciples to do this also, which is call him my Father. He did this. He taught them to do it in prayer. Our Father, right? For those who are holy and follow him, he permits minor differences, and so must we, you know, including this holy name thing. And when he returns to spiritual Zion, all will see eye to eye. Jesus also is a translation of the numeric Greek Jesus, with variations in different languages. He permits it all. And if you pray in any one of those names in those languages, God answers. Because it's who you know, not what you know about his theology or his name. Okay? Name means nature, character, and authority, by the way. Okay? So she went on, the location was remote, and we met outdoors in a camp-like setting. A long fold-out table was set up, and as we arrived, two older men instructed my husband and I to sit down. And this, I believe, represents resting from works. Okay. The men could best be described as elders, distinguished and mature, and I was pretty sure they were angelic in nature, as their disposition was not at all like the others there. They were dressed very differently as well, in long white robes with some kind of head covering. Well, the First Fruits Man-Child Reformers are going to be the ones to introduce God's kingdom resurrection. Just as Jesus, who was the man-child of his day, brought the revival, so it will be in this day. Him in his First Fruits Reformers, because Christ in you, the hope of glory, is manifested in them, as it will be in the church. The message from them was very simple. When everyone was quiet, one of the men simply stated, "The transfer of wealth has taken place." Proverbs 13 and 22, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous." And that's exactly what's happening. Cyrus's job was to bring in this transfer of wealth in order that the kingdom could be rebuilt, which had been destroyed by Babylon. And Cyrus is in the process of destroying Babylon right now. So, but who is going to be able to partake of this? That's the thing. It's not like they say that it's going to restore all of the economy and everything's going to be hunky-dory. It doesn't seem to be that way at all. I was shocked, so I asked the one who spoke, "How do you know? Do you have a confirmation that this is true and from the Father?" The man said to me, "What did you bring with you today?" I then remembered that I had stuffed the check from the mail into my pocket, and so I reached into to get it. I understood from him that I was to look at the check more carefully. And when I did, I saw the number 1 and then more zeros than I could quickly count, even going off the page of the check. And I asked the elder, "When will this happen?" And he said, "By the time you awaken tomorrow, all will already have manifested." Well, this probably has some hidden meanings here. But the numbers going off of the check, you know, just simply says God is going to provide everything for what she's calling the remnant. What we call is the first fruits. He is going to provide everything. The rest of them won't recognize what's going on. At that moment, I had a vision within the dream, and I saw myself and many others of the remnant going to banks and financial institutions, and I was given the understanding that we were all withdrawing unlimited amounts of money for whatever purpose God, Father, had given us as our task to accomplish. Okay. I also saw lands, structures, supplies, machinery, and much more just start appearing, as many have been praying for years and years. And after looking at the check and then seeing the vision, I suddenly felt an anointing fall on everyone there at the fellowship meeting. My entire body was filled from head to toe, along with everyone else's present, and with the Spirit of the living Yahuwah, Father God. A deliverance from years of the curse is coming for the overcomers. A total restoration. In Joel chapter 2, there was a restoration of the people who were there, which if you look in the text, it was Zion, Jerusalem, the bride. There was a great deliverance and a great revival started there with the outpouring of God's Spirit. Okay, Joel chapter 2, read it. We all simultaneously began weeping uncontrollably, praising Father with all of our hearts. Our bodies were electrified and yet filled and carried as we found ourselves linking arms and dancing to the glory and praise of Yahushua. Everyone was shouting praises to our King, Yahushua, for his incredible faithfulness in fulfilling his promises to his remnant. I understood the transfer of kingdom wealth and the timing of the transformation of his remnant, at least in this dream, was very close together, and that is the end of the dream. Well, again, I say in Joel chapter 2, the restoration for the bride was at the time of the outpouring of the Spirit after the beast had been slaughtered. We're coming to this slaughtering. We're watching it happen out there. At least people who are in the know are watching the deep state being taken down and slaughtered. And it's not that they're not going to do guerrilla warfare into the future with their plagues and so on and so forth. They will. But they'll have no position in government or banking because that's being taken down. Okay, there's a scripture that goes with this in Proverbs 13 and 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just or the righteous, right? Yeah. So, a note, although this dream was about the transfer of wealth that will very soon take place, Yahushua has impressed upon me that there is much more taking place right now in his remnant. Yes, that's true. He is finishing a bride in preparation for the coming of the groom to lead her through the tribulation. And in also that using her to go forth two by two and in every other way to bring in the church to go through this wilderness, okay? This dream shows us the fulfillment of his promises and that he will always provide for his own. And we have the hope and assurance that all of our needs have been and will continue to be met. I asked him what his instructions are for his remnant right now as we wait for our transformation, and this was his response. My dearest daughter and all those who walk in obedience to me, another large shift has taken place. Those of you sensitive to my spirit know that this season is much different from any you have experienced in the past. You have been trained and taught. However, I remind you of the words that I have spoken to you over the years, that my bride will see much, much just before I come for you. It's not all that is truly evil on full display now? Yes, it is. It's all being seen. It's all coming out. A great revelation of what the evil was that many people were pledging allegiance to. Yeah. She went on to say, a full disclosure of all the enemy's wicked plans for the souls of men is upon you. It must be so in order that all that has remained hidden for so long is now uncovered. Well, it's being uncovered. It's leaking out, leaking out, leaking out. And people are beginning to see what's going on behind the scenes, what's been going on behind the scenes, and how these Satanists have taken over the world. We have to include, of course, that in Revelation chapter 12, Satan and his demons are cast down to the earth. And it happened because of the saints and their prayers and their commitment to the blood of Jesus and because they love not their life unto death and so on and so forth. Have I not said I will expose all things? Evil has been manifesting without hindrance, but only for a very short time, and then I will act. All that was hidden is now being brought to the surface, and agendas once secret are now being revealed. This is done in order that the decision a soul must make is extremely clear. You are either for me or against me. Just when the enemy believes that he will have the victory, I will powerfully manifest in and through my army, and this world will not have known anything like this since the beginning. I will cut through the hearts of men with my sword of truth, and many, many will be saved. Amen. A great revival is going to come in the midst of this turmoil, right? And people's eyes are open to what true leadership is and what the truth is. And that, of course, is going to leave a lot of apostate preachers high and dry. Okay. She went on to say, prophesy, you ask me what I would have you to do, my jewels. Declare in unity all of my truths in this realm many times throughout your day. Declare a thing and it shall be so. There is unmatched power and authority when my truth is being spoken collectively. Yes, one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000, right? Declare what is already done in the spiritual to manifest in the physical now. Amen. Call forth the fulfillment of my promises and watch what I will do. Declare miracles, supernatural blessings, provision and protection, and it will be as you have declared it, because my storehouses of heaven are open. Well, it's a good time, and there's people who will take advantage of that because they believe the word of God. Others, although they say they're Christians, they do not believe the word of God. They've been short-circuited by the Pharisees of our day and not permitted to go through the door, so to speak. So we have decreed the transfer of wealth to rebuild the kingdom. And I think everybody out there needs to do that too. As I am in my Father, you are in me. So you are in the Father, and we operate as one. As heirs to my kingdom, my royal priesthood, and sons and daughters, much has been given. And now I require from you for you to take a powerful spiritual stand like you have not done before. Well, Matthew 18 and 18 says, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Few believe this, but it's still the facts. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Because it's not the devil who reigns on earth, it is the people of God. They reign upon the earth, it says. Well, saints, I'd say begin to loose the finances to spread the gospel over the world and to make a refuge and to build up the church to be prepared for these coming days. Amen. She went on, you are to be bold and courageous and without fear. Many of you who have been hidden in secret will now come forth, but do not be afraid, for I am with you. I go before you, and nothing by any means can harm you. You were born for such a time as this, so rejoice, my children. The hour is much later than most understand. Well, that's absolutely true. But you, as my set-apart ones, know this, and you will shine in the light of your Creator in the midst of the darkest of days on this earth. I have much to share with you, and great is the reward of you who have overcome. Well, notice, the righteous are going to shine, but the darkness is very dark. The provision is, of course, to build the kingdom, so the shining light is where all the provision is going to be. And a lot of people are going to be drawn to the bride, as the scriptures repeat over and over and over, especially in the latter chapters of Isaiah, you know, that the people are coming back underneath the bride, as it was in the days of David when he ruled over the bride, Jerusalem, and Jerusalem ruled over the people. God is restoring the kingdom after that type and shadow. A greater work is now taking place within my first fruits group, and not all who were in agreement with you previously will continue to be. That's true. It'll bring a separation. And this will especially be noticed in those who call themselves my believers and followers. My word says I will come to judge my church first, and that is what is taking place. Yeah, God is first gathering the tares into bundles to burn them. And then his glorious church will shine forth in the kingdom, right? So this needs to take place. And each one of you has a unique assignment and purpose, she said, and you must cleave to the intimate counsel you each have been given in order to maintain your focus, as all is shifting so rapidly now. So when I say go, stay, and when I say stay, and do not engage unless explicitly instructed to do so. In other words, listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, listen. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, get filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be led by the Spirit, and some will fall into desperate situations because they're led by their mind, like most of the church is. Okay, it's very important to be filled with and led by the Spirit, for to do otherwise is dangerous. He said, go when I say go, and stay when I say stay, and do not engage unless explicitly instructed to do so. In other words, go to God about everything that you do, right? Do not concern yourselves with the outcome of loved ones who cannot make the choice to fully surrender right now. True. Bless them and stay on your course for me. I have told you I have them. So pray for them unceasingly and trust me. Your prayers are more powerful than you would believe. Sweet incense to me, and I hear each one. A great anointing will fall upon you, my beautiful ones, and nothing will remain the same again. Continue to stay emptied of self and sit at my feet continually. There are many that assist you in the unseen, and these too will very soon be revealed. My plan is a game changer for the enemy, as I set the world on fire with my spirit, and as my truth invades, all must respond. As the frequency shifts and love pours in, my design is perfect as I am perfect, and I am that I am, Yahushua. Okay. Well, thus far we do see that the glorious New Age idea of what is coming, it's not going to be quite so. Okay? They believe that the whole United States and all of the world is going to be totally restored to peace and safety and all provision. And, of course, that's a lie. The Lord is doing this. He is using this to bring about this transfer of wealth in order to rebuild His kingdom. The world still needs tribulation, troubles, pain, in order for them to look to Jesus and come to Jesus and enter into this provision. A lot of the New Age people, of course, believe that they are God's elect. But the fact is, they deny the fact that Jesus is the only way to God. And the important thing is that when they see God's great provision poured out for those who are in God's favor, they will understand, in many cases, who are really correct in all this revelation out there about who God is. Okay. So, Father, is going to continue to do a great work. Let me just share this with you. This is a revelation Michelle Rogers got, 4:12-20. We called it cloud by day, fire by night, Isaiah 4 sign. Between April 5th and the 7th of 2020, Hurricane Harold means military power or army ruler. Harold was a Category 5 hurricane that hit two islands in the South Pacific nation of Vanuatu. The island Espiritu Santo, which is interpreted as Holy Spirit Island, and Pentecost Island. Well, this represents God's grace being poured out in a storm of revival while the storm of judgment falls upon the wicked, right? She went on to say, it struck me as significant that the storm made landfall on islands named Holy Spirit and Pentecost. So I began looking into it and asking the Lord about it. The first thing that stood out to me was that this archipelago is located in what is called the New Hebrides, which takes its name from the Scottish Hebrides Islands, where a powerful revival broke out in the 1940s. Yeah, and this represents that God is going to do a repeat of history by sending a greater revival. Amen. Like Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. And when the Lord began quickening my spirit to particular signs and events in 2018, I soon discovered that certain dates and numbers corresponded with Scripture. And when I asked him which book, the answer that came to my mind was Isaiah, always Isaiah. The storm was formed on April the 1st and then hit both islands between the 5th and the 7th of April. As such, it seemed that this sign was pointing me generally to chapter 4 of the book of Isaiah, with particular emphasis on verses 5 and 6. April being the fourth month corresponding to the fourth chapter, and the days corresponding to verses 5 and 6. Yes, many people have discovered this and known this, and it's very interesting how God can point it out to people. God often uses numbers when he speaks, and his word is written in a perfect numeric pattern. In fact, his numeric pattern is in all of creation, so it shouldn't be surprised that he did it in his word, right? Isaiah 4, 5, and 6 says, "And the Lord will create over the whole habitation of Mount Zion and over her assemblies," Mount Zion, of course, the bride, "a cloud and a smoke by day and a shining of a flaming fire by night, for over all the glory shall be spread a covering, and there shall be a pavilion for a shade in the daytime from the heat, and for a refuge and for a covert from the storm and from rain." Yes, this particular text was pointed out to me by the Lord many years ago and what he was going to do. Well, since Harold means army ruler, it came to me that God was coming to take charge over his church. In my spirit, I felt him say, "I am taking my spirit off of Saul, those who fear man more than they fear me, and placing it on the Davids who have pure hearts. No longer will the church be ruled by man, for God is removing the Sauls who desire to please man and placing his spirit on the Davids who have experienced God on the mountaintop and have revelation of him." Yes, and many years ago, Father spoke this same kind of a word to me, and he said, "I am removing the Sauls to make room for the Davids, and you are one of my Davids." So these new David man-child reformers caught up to the throne of authority on the mountaintop, and they will lead God's elect into the wilderness and the greatest revival of all time. So this is what is coming, this catching up to the throne, okay? Speaking to Goliath, David said in 1 Samuel 17:45 through 47, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from off of thee, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day unto the birds of the heavens and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hand. So the little Davids, the man-childs, will smite the giant enemies of God's people to show that God's power is made perfect in man's weaknesses. I also believed he was saying that the spirit of burning would purify the body of Christ in this hour, leading to his spirit resting on assemblies. It was a confirmation to read about David Eales' teaching and insights into this revelation. As I was musing all over all of this, my friend Caroline texted me a video and a song written many years ago by a friend of ours entitled Cloud by Day, Fire by Night. I could not believe my eyes. This was a confirmation, and I believe that this is saying that the only safe place in the coming days will be in the Holy Spirit-led, Spirit-ruled, purified assemblies. All who are abiding in Christ will have this Psalm 91 protection and provision. The Lord is going to supernaturally assemble his believers into groups or refuges for fellowship, safety, and preparation for ministry in the days to come. Amen. Okay, back to her revelation. The Lord also led me to Isaiah 30, 1 and 2. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that make a league but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that set out to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to take refuge in the shadow of Egypt. Well, that's true. And Michelle recently came to our ministry and shared some of her dreams, and they were very good. She says in the King James Version that I usually read, it says that the rebellious children cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Slightly different there. The only covering in this hour is the covering of his spirit and not the covering of man's strength. Yes, people who have trusted in these things will find themselves failing, you know. Jeremiah 17, 5 and 7 through 8. Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose trust the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when heat cometh. But its leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The only safe place in this hour is in the spirit-filled life and assembly. Amen. So, brethren, I want you to see that what's been told us from the Alliance is not completely so. Yes, God is going to use them up to a point, and beyond that, things will not be restored. But God is going to make a provision for the church to seek out people who have knowledge of the coming days and the ability to be preserved through the days now and then. So this is all God's work. He is not going to fail. He will supply your every need according to his riches and glory. It's time to start believing that. The provisions of the world will fail. Many other things are going to fail and not come back. And anyway, but God's purpose thus far through this thing is going to be to rebuild the kingdom. And as far as out there in the world and the worldly church, there's going to be lack. Yeah, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be persecution and so on and so forth. In a vision I had way back in 2007, there was a refuge and the people were fleeing onto the refuge. And when you looked past the outer bounds of the refuge, there was every kind of disaster and lack and trouble and tribulation out there. Of course, that's why they were fleeing on the onto the refuge, you see. So, you know, the 1,000 years of peace that the New Age people who have kind of gathered around this alliance thing is just pure baloney. The only ones that can have peace is the righteous. There is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. We must believe God's word. There's a reason for that. When there's no peace in where you are and no provision where you are, you tend to look elsewhere. And that's what God wants. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you and keep you. And we'll do this again sometime.